Damn.
It's totally fair.
Sorry.
Mike said, I reject your question.
Mike said, fuck your comp. Fuck the comps. Fuck the ops. We ain't forgot about you.
I used to do it all the time, and then I just realized I was wrong, so I said, fuck it, I'm not going to do it again.
You know what? I respect that.
That's fair.
That's so much more self-assessment than what I do, where I'm just Mike's like, oh, I was wrong. Well, you're going to hear it again, baby.
Mike said ACAB. All comps are bastards.
All comps are bastards. All comps are booty.
All comps are bullshit.
It'd be funny if all comps are booty, and then you just comped every player to Kayshon booty.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-host Walker Kelly and Mike Valverde. You smell that? Smells like draft season. Smells like talking about a bunch. Ooh, smells pretty bad. This must be the quarterbacks.
It smells like piss, actually.
Yeah, this must be the quarterbacks, because it smells pretty bad. So
stinky.
So usually we do 10 players. We're not going to be doing 10 quarterbacks. There are not 10 quarterbacks we're talking about in this draft.
We
rank our top five, and then we have our Trey Regis Memorial pick, which is a player we don't think will be good, but we think it's fun. I did a bit this year. I did a meme. I put Walker's favorite player as my Trey Regis Memorial pick. And then we'll probably empty the notebook, talk about random players, because that's what we always do. But first, Mike went to a baseball game last night. Mike, how was the baseball game? Who won, the Giants or the baby Giants?
The baby Giants won.
Baby Giants. Wow.
Yeah, the Giants, the adult Giants, were up 3-0 in the third inning, and it looked like everything was going to be pretty good. But then the baby Giants came back and scored 4 runs and ended up winning 4-3.
Is Roop any good?
Roop is pretty good.
I saw right before we started recording, he got the fifth spot over Birdsong. Birdsong's gonna be in the bullpen.
They both pitched yesterday, and Roop really clearly won the competition. And spring training wise as well, the duration, but it was close up until probably this game, and he clearly showed that he was going to be the fifth starter yesterday. So. We'll see how he does during the regular season, but he's this spring training, he's looked really, really good.
Yeah, considering that the Giants have 90-year-old Justin Verlander, Robbie Ray, who can't stay healthy, a closer, and Jordan Hicks all in their rotation, I think Birdsong will get a chance to pitch this year.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's definitely going to happen.
Yeah, Walker, how's it going for you?
Oh, really good. Have you heard Jackson Jobe's going to be in the Tigers rotation?
I did.
Yes.
Let's go, baby.
Yes.
Baby Tiger. If only there was a term for a baby Tiger.
Couldn't tell you.
Nope. Tiglet. And then I had my fancy baseball draft. So this is baseball absurdity all around. Let's go, baby.
I'm going to guess that Jeff's what number did you pick? And I don't know any of the fantasy baseball players, really.
I picked third.
You picked third. I'm going to guess probably Shohei Ohtani went number one.
Yep.
Two would be Judge.
Nope.
No.
Shortstop. Midwest.
Bobby Witt. Did you pick Judge then?
No. I should have. I panicked.
I should have. He says so
I panicked. Well. No, I took Jose Ramirez.
I mean, that is about as low upside as you could have picked at three, but it's also like as high floor as you could have picked.
I needed so the reason I didn't take Judge was because I was worried about the injuries, and I needed a solid player I could rely on because my keepers in that league are very boom bust. Because okay. I have Ellie.
Yeah.
And Ketel Marte.
Yeah,
and Ketel Marte last
Marte's
year was his
a little
first
older, health,
and it was his first healthy season.
Yeah,
and then I had no good other one, so I traded for Luis Garcia Jr. I traded a pitcher I wasn't going to keep for another guy, so whatever.
Luis
so I was like,
he's on the Nats.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, I needed just a solid guy. And Aaron Judge gets hurt all the time. And I was like, I was actually torn. Judge didn't even come into my play. It was either going to be Rodriguez. I'm not Rodriguez. It was going to be Ramirez or Vladdy.
Yeah. Well, I would have taken Ramirez over Vladdy.
Yeah. So, so I went solid floor, and then I was going to take best player available. And then I ended up with like two pitchers in my next three rounds. And I was like, oh no, I blew this. I screwed this up so bad.
Huh.
So we'll see how that goes. I have Skeens and Wheeler and Jacob deGrom. That is too many high-end pitchers.
Have you guys also heard that Spencer Torkelson is his OPS is almost 1,000 this spring?
He's actually made the Tigers roster.
Yes.
They're like, yeah, that's crazy.
They set everything up for him to fail, and he was just like, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, look out, AL Central. You're about to get torqued for
torque
one more year.
Torque bombs aplenty.
Torque bombs aplenty. All right. Well, that's all that's worth talking about this week. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, we'll can you tell that we don't want to talk about the quarterbacks?
Sure. Let's talk about free agent moves since last time that we talked.
This is even better.
First, shout out to Owen, because Walker says, I don't think you need to read that list that you made. And then I put it at the end of the episode, and then Owen in our Patreon post was like, thanks, Jeff. That was a good rundown. Well done. So, suck it, Walker. Thank you, Owen.
Wow.
Boom.
Unbelievable. I did listen to the episode, and I did listen to you doing that. And I thought it was nice and informative. So sure, I was wrong.
Yeah. Also, Kristen Kirk. I was like, well, I'm halfway through with this. I'm not gonna re-record this.
Yeah, I didn't notice that, to be honest.
I said Kristen Kirk.
My Jeff misspeaking monitor was not on point because I couldn't immediately tell you. texting Jeff as I listened to the podcast. You said Kristen Kirk.
Yeah, at jeffcrisco.bsky.social. Kristen Kirk. She's like, fuck.
Shit.
All right, let's talk about the random free agent signings that have happened since the last time that we talked. The biggest one, probably for fantasy relevance, is Jameis Winston to the Giants. He got a backup contract, honestly, 2 years, $8 million. That's not anything. But Walker put in the dock, neighbors, greater than sign. Who goes on the other side of the dock, Walker?
Oh, nobody. I was just meaning like he's going to be better than he was last year.
Greater than Puka Nacua, who's retiring at 30? God, I wish that was me.
Real. Yeah, I'm about to be 30 this year, baby.
Ooh, Walker on that AARP roll. But no, let's say this. Before this, was Malik Nabers a top 10 wide receiver?
Yeah.
Mike, before Jameis?
I would say close to top 10. I would probably have him at 10, actually.
At 10? Okay.
Yeah.
With Jameis on the roster, is he still top 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that what it does most is it, like, let's say that the Giants end up with Shadur, because it's sounding more and more like the Titans are taking Cam Ward.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like the Browns are deciding between Carter and Hunter.
Yeah. This insulates Malik Nabers from Shadur Sanders just completely shitting the bed.
Right.
I think that that's what it does more than anything is it makes the floor higher.
The contract, the guy they went after and the contract they gave him say they're taking a quarterback, in my opinion.
Yeah. Especially Jameis could have gotten it like.
He could have gotten a couple million more from somebody.
Yeah, exactly. He could have waited out. He could have been like, hey, Pittsburgh, how much does Aaron Rodgers want you to pay him? Well, I'll take half of that.
I'll work for half of it. Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not particularly interested in Jameis outside of streaming because we know who Jameis is at this point. At every stop, he's the same guy.
Yeah, everybody
lots
gets
yards,
really excited.
Lots of picks, lots of touchdowns.
Everybody gets so excited when he has his one, like, 350-yard, four-touchdown game, and then they forget that he's going to throw 18 picks in 7 starts.
Mm-hmm. And some of those games overlap.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. All
like
right.
The one against Denver, was it?
Yeah, on Thursday Night Football.
Where he had like 404-3 or something. Just
it was ridiculous.
So bad. I remember David Njoku at the end of that game, because Winston threw a pick like right at the end of the game. And Njoku was the target in the back of the end zone. And he just like threw his hands up in the air immediately when the ball got picked off. Like, you gotta be kidding me, man.
Yeah.
Right.
What are you doing out there? All right.
How could you even throw that?
Any other thoughts on Jameis to the Giants?
No.
All right. Can I offer you Zach Pascal to the Giants or Lil Jordan Humphrey to the Giants?
I'm less interested in those.
How about Brandon Cooks to the Saints? Break out the Photoshop machine. Brandon Cooks back to the Saints.
Brandon Cooks, Marquez Valdez-Scantling replacement.
Yeah. Or Chris Olave replacement.
No. Why would that be the case?
Because Chris Olave is going to get another concussion.
Oh.
Probably.
Yeah, not until Chris Olave gets hurt.
I was going to say, like, why would they sign an old guy and then get rid of a young guy?
Wait till week six, and then I'll be interested in Brandon Cooks. That's why I put the little thought bubble emoji.
I'm going to be honest. Even when Chris Olave gets hurt, I'm not interested in Brandon Cooks anymore.
People were trying to talk themselves into freaking, who was the guy? Not Bo Melton. Bub Means. People were trying to talk themselves into Bub Means last year.
Well, I wasn't.
Bub means business, folks. Bub means bad at football.
Bad under boob.
Damn. That's why Walker is the foremost brains of this operation. So last year, just want to say, as the foremost Brandon Cooks lover, he didn't do anything last year. So I would just like to say that this is nothing more than like midway through the season, he might potentially be a speculative dart throw. Do not get more interested in.
More like Brandon orders DoorDash. Am I right?
Damn. Got him. Brandon orders fucking McDonald's, knowing that the fries are going to be bad. It needs
McDelivery.
It needs him anyways because he loves that slop. All right.
I've eaten McDelivery.
Oh God, McDelivery just sounds horrible to me. The fries, if you get like drive through, they're not.
I wouldn't get fries.
Okay, there you go. You've insulated yourself from the problem.
Yeah.
All right. Jamal Agnew to the Falcons. Who cares? Michael Gallup comes out of retirement to go to the Commanders. Do we care?
No.
All right. Rondale Moore to the Vikings.
No.
Rest in piss, Jalen Naylor.
Jalen Naylor vanquishing Rondale Moore.
No! DeAndre Carter to the Browns. Don't care. Devin Duvernay to the Bears. Don't care. Tyler Conklin to the Chargers. Walker put, I don't care, but I kind of care.
Isn't Tyler Conklin like 30? And they also have Hayden Hurst and Will Disley. Oh, Hayden Hurst might be a free agent, but Will Disley is still there. I don't know. I feel like it's just going to be a mess.
I thought that Will Disley was a free agent. Never mind.
Oh, okay.
Forget I said anything. Changing my thinky face back to IDC. All right, and then Felipe Franks.
Wait, moved he was from the Panthers to the Falcons, baby.
But wasn't he on the Falcons to begin with?
I think so.
When he was a quarterback,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just gonna
Felipe Franks playing his second position for the Atlanta Falcons.
The old guy talking about Jeffrey Epstein. Felipe Franks, the quarterback?
God.
All right.
The investment banker?
The investment banker? Jeff Epstein, the investment banker? All right. So what we did for the quarterbacks this year is we did the same thing that we do every year for every position. We ranked our top five. And then we had a consensus. And then we're going to break them all down. And then, like I said earlier in the episode, we picked our Trey Regis Memorial pick, which goes back to shout out Evan Hoovler. Picked Trey Regis as one of his top 10 running backs that year because, quote, I don't know. He could be fun.
He was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you know what the really funny thing about that is?
What's that?
That Trey Regis's teammate in that same draft class from college was Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah. Hmm. Better than Trey Regis.
A little bit.
A lot bit. Some would say a lot bit.
Some could say that, and I would.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about consensus number one overall quarterback in this class, both by us and by pretty much everybody who's not trying to get attention, I would say. That would be Cam Ward. So Mike Walker and I all have Cam Ward as our number one quarterback in this class. So Mike, take away talking about Cam Ward.
So Cam Ward, he definitely recognizes pre-snap pressure. He's an easy thrower of the football and improviser with the ball. Can throw from multiple slot angles So he can move his arm, and he would, you know, is able to, if he needs to throw around the defense, he can throw over the defense. He can access the short, immediate, and deep portions of defense with little restrictions. Does a great job toggling between velocity and touch. So knows when to put speed on the ball, or just touch. If, you know, you don't want to hammer the guy if he's like 3 yards from you. Ward has plus level mobility and can create plays with his feet and hits on tight windows. The negatives on Ward, a gunslinger who's a high risk taker, mm-hmm. but needs to improve on being calculated without so many risks. Puts the ball in harm's way throughout his career. Needs to limit predetermining his reads pre-snap. So he'll read the pre-snap defense formation, believe it will be what the post-snap actually is. So he gets, he will, when they change defenses on him, he just gets completely lost. Will get overly excited and throw before the route is developed. So he'll see an open man and then throw the ball instead of actually reading with defense how close they are, or manipulate the defenders to get the defenders off the receiver. Completed just 39% of his red zone passes in 2024. Disguised defenses give him big time trouble. In summary, I wrote Cam Ward is among the most gifted throwers in the NFL draft class. Combination of arm talent and mobility plus athleticism and accuracy. He has superstar potential if he can cut down on his mistakes and risky decisions.
So where would you put him in this draft class in terms of overall, not just quarterbacks? Like, is he a top, like if you had your druthers, is he graded as a top 10 pick, top 20, top 30?
You mean where I think he's going to get picked by NFL standards, or where I think he should be?
Where you think he should be picked?
I think he's a third rounder.
Third rounder? Okay. Yeah, because something I forgot to mention before we started. This draft class is going to be overdrafted. I think we all agree on that. Yes. With talk, if multiple quarterbacks go in the first round, this class was overdrafted.
Yeah,
so for sure. Even when accounting for, like, quarterback helium. So, Mike, really down on Cam Ward. There are a few things that Mike said that I really agree with. One of the things specifically that kind of had me wary of Cam Ward is that when he's on the move, when he's outside of structure, when he throws, he does a good job of hitting his target, but he also develops blind spots. And I think that goes into what Mike was saying, where he predetermines his read. He doesn't do a great job post-snap in reading the defense. So when he moves on the run, he kind of loses what he's looking at, and he develops these blind spots, where that goes into the gunslinger thing, and he gets a little bit of the Jimmy Garoppolo disease, which, if you haven't listened to before, is what we describe as, hey, this might not work, but this might be cool if it does. Mm-hmm. So that's Jimmy Garoppolo disease. And he does a great job when players are open. It's when things get a little nastier that problems start to pop up. Mike, you nailed it perfectly. 39% in the red zone. That is a tight area, really nasty, dirty, lots of bodies in the area. That's where he struggles. Makes a lot of mistakes. I agree. Needs to clean it up. I do have him as a top 25 guy, just because I think I'm using, like, a little bit of precedent. So I think that I am catching a little bit of the quarterback inflation here. I also, like, if you look at, like, a lot of second round quarterbacks, like, I think of, like, Derek Carr and Andy Dalton as the, like, high standard, the second round quarterback. And then if I think that a guy is better than those guys, or has the potential to be better than those guys, then I would put them in the first round. And I think that Cam Ward has the potential to be better than those guys. So, but not a lot. He also has a lot of downside, which is why I have him top 25. Like, I have him as a first rounder, but not super high up. Mike doesn't do comps, but my NFL comp for him is Baker Mayfield. So a lot of the same, you know, swag over substance a lot of the time that Baker Mayfield has. So Walker, what do you think about Cam Ward?
I agree with Mike. Third round grade for him. He's number 58 overall on my board. I mean, Mike covered it really well. He's a talented player with a lot of ability. He's worked hard to get where he is. He was a zero-star recruit out of high school, went to Incarnate Word, Washington State before he was at Miami. So he's played everywhere, played in multiple schemes. But, yeah, that when the defense can confuse him. When the defense makes a more complicated call and executes it correctly, he's a little lost. And I think he gets sped up a little bit, too. So I definitely think there's some stuff that a good coach can coach out of him and make him into a good player. But there's also a possibility that he struggles for a while if he doesn't go to the right situation. Comp for me would be Sam Darnold.
And let's be clear, he's not going to the right situation.
Nope.
Titans are not set up for him to be successful. I would have preferred the Giants if we're going like a team in the top 10, just and because.
Better receiver.
They've got a receiver. They've got Dable. They've got.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee has Brian Callahan, who is supposed to be an offensive guy, but I don't think he's very good.
No, I don't think he is either. And Dable struggled with the Giants, but I still think he's a good coach. He's just had some real. I mean, sorry, I can't knock a guy for struggling with Daniel Jones and Drew Locke.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's a good head coach, but I can tell you he's a good OC.
Yeah.
So I think that the Giants, if they were to have a decent quarterback, they would probably be a decent offense. But yeah, I think what I will say is Cam Ward will be comfortably better even as a rookie, I think, than what Levis and Rudolph gave them last year. Mm-hmm. But they're still going to be warts. He's still going to take his lumps. It's going to be, I think there's going to be a lot of growing pains there.
You're on the clock at 101. You really shit the bed in 2024. Mm-hmm. You're at the clock on 101 in a super flex league. Cam Ward is a Tennessee Titan. Yeah. Cam Ward or Ashton Jeanty?
Jeanty.
Absolutely 100%. And for a non-quarterback to go 101 in a super flex league, a super flex rookie draft, that tells you exactly what you're dealing with in this class.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he's the cream of the crop.
Right.
He just is. So. All right. So let's move on from Cam Ward. Let's go to our consensus number two quarterback in this class. Not consensus among everybody. I saw some guys sneak Jackson Dart above Shedeur Sanders, but for us, Shedeur Sanders number two, and Walker, that's yours. Take it away.
Is it mine? I thought it was yours.
No, I have Jackson Dart and Dalen Milroe, baby.
You have Dart. I get to shit on Shedeur, I guess.
Yeah.
Hashtag
shit on Shedeur.
That's right. hashtag shitting for Shedeur. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's more polished than Ward, I'll say. I like the way that he gets the ball out accurately and quickly, makes timely decisions. Unlike Ward, doesn't always have to wait for the receiver to be wide open, can anticipate a little bit better, isn't as turnover prone, doesn't make as many bad decisions with the ball, especially throwing, has a decent sense for pressure and decent ability to escape. He's not a runner, but he can run.
Mm-hmm.
Size is fine. His arm strength is fine. Also, I think he can make most of the throws. He's certainly not going to be in the upper echelon of arm strength in the NFL. But I don't think he's got a pop gun arm either. I think it's pretty middle of the road. He seems to be a very streaky player, where when he plays well, he plays really well. And when he plays poorly, he plays really poorly. Even into the later stages of his college career at Colorado, he was that way. I feel like he has always played with more talent than the teams around him. Playing with Travis Hunter will do that. And he played his first 2 years at Jackson State, where he was much better than everyone else. I just think it all adds up to a guy I would want to be taking in the middle of the draft. Certainly not somebody I'd be wanting to take at the top of the draft. So plus you have the whole thing to deal with where, you know, he's kind of like a punk rich kid.
Yeah.
he's Deion's kid. And he likes to flex how rich he is without having to work for it. And I don't know what kind of leader he's going to be in an NFL locker room. I really have questions about whether he'll command respect from his peers. And I just don't think you can act like a spoiled brat in the NFL, especially as the quarterback, and expect to get away with it.
And what's funny is, Walker, you saying that means a lot, because you're the first one to just be like, yeah, whatever, that doesn't matter. Like,
right. I'm usually sort of like, yeah, that's not a distraction. Who cares?
Yeah. But yeah.
It's just, you can convince yourself Shadur's good if you just look at the positives.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of pretty obvious red flags there too.
There's okay. I'll put it right. I'll say famously. Okay. They write articles about this. I don't watch the NCAA season until draft.
I don't think they write any articles about that, Jeff.
There's thousands. Look it up. Just let me set my army of chat GPT bots to make websites and articles first. I don't watch Shadur Sanders, or I don't watch the NCAA, so I only saw Shadur Sanders highlights. I thought Shadur Sanders was so good. I thought he was going to be so good because his highlights are so high. Right. But you watch him play to play and you're like, not so sure about this.
Mm-hmm.
Not so sure about this. The thing that gets me most about him is Colorado had a good offensive line. So he was able to be extremely patient in the pocket, to the point that his patience kind of ticked into indecisiveness. You could feel like the clock starting to wind down, where you're like, this guy needs to throw it. This guy needs to throw it. This guy needs to throw it. And then he still had the ball and he wasn't getting sacked. And you're like, all right, but is that going to translate to the NFL?
No.
If he goes to a team with a bad offensive line, we're talking like David Carr, Caleb Williams levels of just like getting his shit rocked constantly in the NFL.
He will hold that shit, I'll say.
Yeah, he lets perfect be the enemy of good. He is not, hey, let's just take 5 yards and get to the next play.
Mm-mm.
He is the enemy of the West Coast offense.
he is simultaneously always looking for the deep shot and also trying desperately to not get intercepted.
Yeah.
So he's got like Aaron Rodgers mentality, but without Aaron Rodgers talent.
Yeah. He's And then another thing, it's weird because he has so much off field swagger. Like you said, he's a spoiled rich kid. He's a brat. But on the field, I think you put it perfectly, Walker, when you said that when things are going well, they tend to continue to go well for him. And when things go poorly, they continue to go poorly for him, because I don't think he's quite confident enough on a football field to just take what the defense gives him. It feels like he's always trying to prove something, press. He's trying too hard. And I think that that's a lot of what bothers me about him, is that he's like, nah, this has got to be a 50-yard bomb. Every play has got to be a 50-yard bomb. That's what he's playing for on every down.
And he doesn't have the arm strength to be playing like that.
Oh, no, he does not either. That's the thing, too, is his arm writes a lot of checks, or his body writes a lot of checks that his arm can't cash. Another one is to your runner point, Walker. Mm-hmm. He is athletic. He is not a runner. He has no moves. He has no elusiveness. He's just kind of fast. So he will just run. Like, if the line opens up, he will just run in a straight line until the defender comes at him, and then he slides. But because he's so fast, that could be 12, 13 yards downfield.
Yeah, I mean, he's the classic, like, in the NFL, he will have, like, one scramble a game, and he'll average a gaudy yards per carry as a result. So he's going to have, like, 25 carries for 150 yards and one touchdown.
Yeah, he's like, I put him as,
so for
like,
fantasy, it won't matter much.
Yeah, I put him as like in the like Joe Burrow before his injuries, like he would do that.
Yeah, 200 yards rushing.
Yeah. Yeah, 200 yards rushing, or Brock Purdy last year.
Post Ryan Tannehill post first injury.
Yeah. All right, Mike, your thoughts on Shadur Sanders?
I think he's definitely one of the purest passers in this class. He'll pick defenses apart with his quick release. and his accuracy.
I did like his release. I forgot
release
to
is so
that.
Quick. It looks like he looks like a baseball player that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, as you guys hit on a little bit, he takes too many hits. And his anticipation and instincts are pretty poor. He needs pretty much a clean pocket to sort of be better than what he can do when the pocket gets muddied up. When the pocket gets muddied up, he sort of breaks down a little bit. So, I think those are the kind of notes that I would have that you guys didn't touch on. I think it was Jeff. He touched on his instincts a little bit and stuff, but yeah, that's what I have.
All right, I have a round three grade on him. True round three grade. I think that he's a project. Unfortunately, he's going to be a day one starter.
Yeah, almost assuredly. I have a fourth round grade on him, and he is number 90 overall on my board.
Ooh, top 100. Do you have any other quarterbacks in your top 100?
Well, Ward. I said it was at
58. I mean, other than Ward. I meant after.
No. You'll find out where I have Dart soon. It's not that far outside the top 100, but it's not in the top 100.
Yeah, and I have his best fits as Saints, Seahawks, and Rams. And this was I wrote up before the Seahawks traded Geno, so now I don't think
they're... Definitely not Seahawks because their offensive line sucks.
Well, this was more players at the end of their career that he could sit behind, that he won't be forced to play from day one.
Mm-hmm. I could see. I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, Carr, and then it was Geno.
Yeah, I don't know, Tampa?
Tampa might not be bad, but I think he could learn some...
that would be a good fit.
I feel like he would learn some bad things from Baker.
Yeah, but he learned how to be a swagged out white boy.
That's true. How about this? Detroit.
Yeah, but his attitude would never fly in Detroit.
That's true. That's very true.
It just wouldn't. I'm sorry. Campbell would kill him.
Yeah. Walker, your comp.
See, this is tough because I've waffled between quite a few with Shadur. But I'm going to go with a guy who I think played similarly, I think had a lot of the same traits as a passer, but was completely the opposite personality-wise, Jake Delhomme.
Jake Delhomme. I went with, I keep it a little bit more contemporary, hypermobile Jimmy G. I just modified Jimmy G to be very mobile because he's got the quick release. He's got the good being the enemy of great. He's got the right in checks that his arm can't cash. He's got classic Jimmy Garoppolo disease.
He's dumb Tyrod Taylor.
Yes, dumb Tyrod Taylor. Himbo Tyrod Taylor. All right. So Shedeur Sanders was number two for all of us. And then number three for all of us was actually Jaxson Dart, who I have out of Ole Miss. 21 years old, 6'2", 225. Drew Lock, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Gardner Minshew. Do these players excite you? Because if they do, then I've got Jaxson Dart. He has some high highs. His game against Kentucky was bonkers, and his game against Texas A&M was one of the worst footballing I've ever seen ever. I watched the first game was Kentucky, and I was like, I'm gonna put Jaxson Dart over Cam Ward. I'm gonna do it. And then I watched Texas A&M and I was like, this guy has never played football before in his entire life. So the goods, great arm talent, not very good accuracy, though. Very mobile in the pocket. And when he's moving, he's looking to throw. So some quarterbacks, they're moving in the pocket. But as soon as things break down, they're trying to find that running lane. I'm talking about you, Jalen Milroe. But he is always keeping his eyes downfield, trying to throw the ball. He is actually trying to play quarterback. He's an idiot. Just real dumb. Just can't make a good decision to save his life. He loves to try to do hero throws. He turns his mobility into a detriment because, like we were talking about with Shedeur Sanders, where he stands in the pocket trying to find the perfect throw. Jaxson Dart will not just find the throw when he's scrambling. He's scrambling, trying to find the perfect throw. And I don't know about you guys, but I haven't seen a lot of quarterbacks that can roll out, scramble, and hit a guy 40, 50 yards downfield on the move. It doesn't work. And what it also does is it leads him wildly off platform with like crazy mechanics while he's going to throw the ball. So he's really Drew Lock. If we're being honest, it's the same player. Walker appreciated the swagless Gardner Minshew comp for him. I have him as a third round pick behind Shador. He's just doesn't really excite me. I think that he has the ability to come in and play right away, a la Drew Lock, but I think that he's kind of capped out in so far as what he is. So obviously NFL comp Drew Lock, good fits for that I have for him are, honestly, I think the Titans could take him in round two. I wouldn't be too upset. The Steelers could take him or the Raiders. Though, again, I wrote this before the Geno Smith trade, so I don't think the Raiders could do it. So that's my take on Jackson Dart. Mike, what are your thoughts?
Exceptional. He has exceptional touch, timing, and velocity when it comes to short and intermediate passes. Forget about it when he's throwing deep. Like, it becomes a complete mess. He's just... Mm-hmm. Inaccurate as hell when he's throwing deep. Willing to take the big hit in the pocket, demonstrates that he's comfortable inside in and out of the pocket. So he'll face it up when he's getting rushed at and make the throw. And then when finding one-on-one matchups, he's really adept at really locating those one-on-one matchups. Now he becomes uncomfortable when moved off the first read. So defenses can really, you get him to move off that read, that first read, by covering up the primary receiver. And then he doesn't just trust himself. He'll make bad throws even when the next wide receiver is wide open. The mental processing speed is slow. His accuracy and mechanics break down with that pressure. And he invites pressure by lack of anticipating on his throws. So those things are really off for him. And then he has the ceiling to be an NFL starter, but it's going to need time to develop in a system that maximizes mobility and RPO skill set. So he's really limited under that RPO skill set, but if there's a team that's willing to develop him and take their time with him, he can become an NFL starter. But for the most part, yeah, he's going to be a backup.
Yeah, what, totally.
what round grade do you have on Jackson Dart?
Fourth round.
Okay, so Walker, your thoughts on what are some are calling him, the Dart Man?
The Dart Man. Wow.
Blasting darts.
That's not great. He can throw some darts, honestly. Like he's got a big arm, got some good zip on the ball. As Jeff said, accuracy can be a bit of a sprinkler system at times. Just a lot of inconsistencies in his game. I think there's talent there. I think Jeff is a little harsh. I think he does have a brain in his head. I don't think it's always functioning, but I think it's there. He's got kind of the makeup where I think he could be like a low end starter, high end backup for a long time. Jeff said memeless Minshew. I mean, I think that's pretty reasonable. He's like the opposite of your just there quarterback, where he's got the high highs and the low lows, but it all evens out to just being like fine. I don't know, it seems like he's always going to be fine. You know, he'll have an occasional really good game or an occasional really bad game, but overall he's just Jake Browning.
I mean, he could catch. He's definitely the type of guy that could catch. We were talking about it in the chat. He could catch a Nick Foles heater.
That's like his ceiling. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not the guy that you pegged as the most likely to have a Nick Foles heater, because you love my number nine quarterback.
Ugh. That's where I have Quinn Ewers. I have Jackson Dart 104 overall, fourth round grade.
Fourth round grade. Okay, so I'm the only one that has him with a day two grade then. When you put it that way, I guess I'm very high on Jackson Dart, but I have him as like a back end third rounder. So
yeah, you're still pretty low on him compared to consensus, I would say.
Here, watch this. You ready to watch me straddle the fence?
No, oh,
comp
boy.
Pick.
Oh,
third
yeah.
round comp pick, baby.
He's going to the Rams at 101, baby.
Straddling that fence. All right. We've all spoke our piece about Jackson Dart. So let's move on to our consensus number four quarterback. Get out of here, Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks window reopened. All right. Consensus number four quarterback, Quinn Ewers. We all have him. Mike and I have him at four. Walker has him at nine, I think you said, Walker.
Nine, yes.
Oh, boy. So, Mike.
Nine. Wow. Okay.
I'm you know shocked. What Mike thinks about that? Nine, parentheses, German.
Nine.
Yeah, you want to hear one of the names I have out of Quinn Ewers? It's going to make you really mad.
What's that?
Dylan Gabriel.
Get out of here.
Dylan Gabriel? Oh, my God.
Get out of here.
Dylan Gabriel can run and he's accurate.
Dylan, get out of here.
Quinn Ewers can't run and he's inaccurate.
All right. Dylan Gabriel, John Wolford ass.
Yeah, it's better than Quinn Ewers.
He's gonna have a great career as the 66th best quarterback in the league.
Quinn Ewers is going to have a great career in the AAF.
Damn, you're dumb AAF.
Dumbass as fuck. You're dumbass as fuck, bro.
Dumbass as fuck, boy. All right. So let's talk about Quinn Ewers, Mike.
Quinn Ewers. So touch and timing. When throwing the short to intermediate passes are it's pretty good. When it comes to play action fakes and stuff like that, he will sell the play very well. Can use multiple arm angles to get rid of the ball. He has a competitive spirit, plays through pain, is consistent in his accuracy when throwing on boot action plays. As far as the negatives, he won't add much as a rusher at all. Struggles through progressions when under pressure. Durability issues going back to high school there. And then he forces too many passes into coverage, trying to make explosive plays. Needs to do a better job with manipulating defenses with his eyes. And will stare down receivers, which, of course, either leads them into collisions or interceptions and just bad plays overall. He does have the arm talent and shows it in flashes and games, but isn't consistent at that high level. Needs to process more quickly due to lack of escapability in the pocket. He does have raw talent and upside for pro-style offenses, however.
All right, Walker, your thoughts about the man you hate. You, the man you like less than Dylan Gabriel.
Quinn Ewers. You remember what we said about Shedeur Sanders? How, you know, he's always looking for the big play and
yeah.
His arm's kind of mid and, you know, he likes to be the improviser guy, but he's not that great at it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Quinn Ewers is just the worst version of that. He thinks he can do everything. And every once in a while he does, furthering his belief that he can do everything. And then 85% of the time, he just tries shit that doesn't work and can't work. And at the NFL level, I just, his decision making is bad. I hate how he puts his, as Mike said, how he puts his receivers in danger. I hate how he puts the ball in danger. The game's about the ball. You got to have the ball to score. So he's just not careful. He's not safe. And I just don't think I could ever trust him.
See, what all of that is correct. I don't disagree with any of that at all. But a couple of the games that I watched, Texas were just like, hey, it's grip and rip football. That's all you're going to do. Grip and rip football. He's good at that.
Yep.
He could succeed in the NFL. In a West Coast offense, it's what I like to call the himbo throws. You're not thinking. You're just out there to fire the ball.
So you're basically telling me that you think he can be like a Tua Light?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a perfect, like he could be Tua in the NFL after his, you know, his hip injury, because he's a very different player than he was in college. I do also agree, dude, his vision is awful. It's so bad. And he has no peripheral vision at all whatsoever.
He's going to get himself killed.
A corner blitz could just be a corner like walking up behind him and just shoving him because he has no sense of players coming at him.
He's going to get some nasty nickel is going to come off the edge and just absolutely wail on him one time. I mean, he's going to be seeing stars all the time. And I just don't know how. I don't know how you reconcile that. I mean, I agree that he's talented. And I agree that his touch is very impressive. I mean, he makes some really nice layered throws that look like pure NFL throws for sure. Mm-hmm. But just the level of consistency is nowhere near where it needs to be. And the way that he plays the game, I don't feel like you're ever going to change him enough for him to be viable as an NFL quarterback.
I mean, that's a fair assessment. I feel like I can fix him. And I'm not a big Quinn Ewers fan. Like, I have him a day three guy. Like, he's not going to be successful in the NFL. It's just, I think that there's
a little part of you that's like, what if he's Brock Purdy?
There's a little part of me that's like, he could be Andy Dalton. 30s Andy Dalton.
I just don't think he could be, though, because I don't think he's smart enough.
That's
football IQ, I mean. Not.
Yeah.
I don't know about his intelligence level, whatever. He could be a real smart guy, but he just
plays
stupid.
Walker played trivia against him. He doesn't know shit.
The man doesn't know shit about shit.
Yeah. They did the 1,000 catch trivia question. This guy was like, duh, Justin Jefferson? He hasn't been in the league long enough, stupid.
Moron. University of Texas. It's not even... It's a pretty good school, actually.
You're more like University of Dumbass.
Ohio State University. That's Cardell Jones said, I didn't come here to play school. So, you know.
All right. That's it, right? Mike, you talked about Quinn Ewers?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mike's like, we need to move on.
That's our number four guy, and we hate him.
Yeah. Oh, where do I have him? Sorry.
I said nine.
Well, I know, but like, I mean, overall.
Oh.
He is prospect number 205.
Woo! All right. And I'm passionately defending him with the upside that he could maybe be Andy Dalton. So that gives you an idea of what we're working
on. You know what Quinn Ewers is? He is the Spencer Rattler in this draft, where everybody's going to like him for some reason, even though he sucks really bad.
That's actually every quarterback in this draft. All right.
It's Rattlers all the way down, folks.
It's Rattlers all the way down. All right. Let's talk about our number five quarterback, Jalen Milroe out of Alabama, 6'2", 212. I call them a two-trick pony. Do you want to start with trick one or trick two?
Let's go with trick two. Why not?
Trick two is, fuck it, Ryan Williams is down there somewhere.
Ryan Williams is really good.
Yeah. The Jalen Milroe is not a good quarterback.
No.
But if Jalen Milroe gets a start, he is a must-start fantasy quarterback.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Because here's the thing. The first trick that he does is run. This guy... loves to run. His number one trait is his running. He has good vision. He follows his blockers well. He honestly reminds me a lot of like a quarterback version of James Conner running the football, where he runs patiently, decisively. He can leverage his blocks very well. And he's fast. And Bama called a lot of design runs for him. A lot of designed runs. And then, like I said, his other Ryan Williams is so good. He was a literal child. He was 17 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. And the crazy thing is that he's not even the best wide receiver in his own class.
That's crazy to me.
Because of Jeremiah Smith.
Oh my god.
When we get to that class, it's going to be just like, we're just going to be like, yeah, you want to draft him as high as possible. I mean, what do you want us to tell you? Like, you got to get him.
Hooting, hollering, Yosemite Sam shooting guns off into the air.
Yeah, I'm firing all of my guns and
yeah,
all none of them.
Yeah.
I don't even have the muscle, to be fair.
I'm trying to get out of me just talking. Half of my Jalen Milroe write up is just talking about Ryan Williams.
Well, yeah, whatever.
Okay. Talk about that. He doesn't make a lot of decisions throwing the ball. His arm strength is decent, but not great, and especially throwing deep. I wrote, it looks like he's chucking a waterlogged Nerf ball into a headwind.
Just kinda dies.
It just dies.
Yeah, yeah. He's throwing it. It looks like he's throwing like a ultimate frisbee.
Yeah, it's real bad.
This man's floating it.
Yeah. So unless he takes a huge step forward passing, and I'm talking like a remember when Josh Allen was suddenly good at passing step forward? He's a backup. He's nothing but a backup in this league. My comp for him is Justin Fields. I have a late round four, early round five grade on him. Best fits, Colts, Saints, Seahawks.
Where
the real best fit is, go play running back, dog.
Yeah,
he should. I have him quarterback five, fifth round grade, 154 overall. Comparison, Joe Webb.
Joe Webb. I've told you guys my Joe Webb betting story, right?
I believe so.
When he was announced to be the starter in that one Vikings playoff game, I was literally Googling like illegal gambling, illegal, like where can I bet? Where can I bet against the Vikings? Like as soon as humanly possible, like I didn't care about with the line. I didn't care about anything. I was like, I just need to put my money into a shady website as quickly as possible to bet against Joe Webb.
Oh my God. That reminds me of the time that I made overseas sports bets through a Chinese betting thing.
Allegedly.
I definitely did this in the game. And not in real life, only in the game, in Minecraft.
On your Minecraft server?
Yeah, my Minecraft server, on my Discord server.
Don't my Minecraft server starring Jack Black.
No, mine's Jack Slack, actually.
Oh, damn.
Because I'm using Slack instead of Discord. That's the messaging app I'm using, yes. What were we talking about?
Jalen Milroe.
Yeah, well, I know that, but like, I mean, specifically in this instance.
Oh, illegal gambling?
Illegal gambling, that's right. Yes, I allegedly did that, and then I allegedly had to get my money in Bitcoin. And then I allegedly immediately sold that Bitcoin as fast as I possibly could for whatever money it was worth and just exited that and never touched anything with Bitcoin ever again.
Perfect. Sounds like me when I did Top Shot, second Top Shot ref of the episode.
Unbelievable.
I got in line for a pack. I got the pack. I bought the pack. I immediately sold everything in the pack. And I like,
she topped my pack until I shot.
I made six times my money just like that. And then wow. I was like, well, that's great.
I got lucky. I'm not going to try that again.
I sold a LeBron James dunk for $200. A video of one LeBron. They just give this shit away on the internet. You can literally just type LeBron James dunk and they'll show you all the LeBron James dunks you want. But somebody decided they wanted to pay $200 American for one LeBron James dunk. And I sold it to him.
To own.
Yeah.
The highlight of a LeBron James dunk that I can still look up on.
I owned it and I watched it and then I sold it and then I watched it again. I can still watch it. It's tulips, baby. Mike's awfully quiet sitting on his Top Shot fortune. All right. Who's our number six? Oh, Walker's best friend.
Shut up, man. Yeah, Will Howard, fifth round grade, 130 overall. He's a tryhard. He's also an absolute behemoth. Just really big, really strong, pretty fast, tough as nails, and will make every throw. The problem is he does not have a functioning brain. Simply, you just tell him what to do and he does it. And if something gets in the way, you should have thought about that beforehand because he's not going to be able to deviate from plan A. It's just not going to happen. But if plan A is good, he's going to, as long as you can make it brainless for him, he'll be perfectly fine. He will do everything you want him to do. He can be, you know, 80% Carson Wentz. You know, when Carson, before Carson Wentz destroyed his knee. But I don't know if somebody will be able to do that for him. I don't know if that's somebody's going to be willing to do that for him. You know, I feel like he's probably just going to end up bouncing around the league as like general backup guy.
First of all, general backup guy, salute. That's right. Second, he's so bad under pressure. I think that's what gets me about him. Is he just under pressure? He just loses all his mechanics. The balls start to sail on him. The defenders just kind of, they just have to stand there and wait for him to make a mistake.
Yeah, you know? Just play some soft zone and let him just chuck it in right into your belly. Yeah.
So I was talking on before the episode. The very first play of Ashton Jeanty I saw was a 63-yard touchdown run. Mm-hmm. The very first play I saw of Will Howard was him just lazily throwing a ball to a cornerback who is literally standing there for a pick six.
Cornerback wasn't moving.
Huh?
Was that in the Michigan game?
No, it was Penn State.
Penn State. Oh.
But it says a lot that you couldn't.
It could have been a different one. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, his brain doesn't work at all. I don't know what he's doing out there, but like when they, like the whole way through the playoff, they had a good offensive plan. And I think they told him just when you get under pressure, just default to throw it to Jeremiah because he's really fucking good. And so he just did that, or he ran. You know, it was if there was pressure coming, it was one read and run. And I think that translates perfectly to backup quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I have a round 5 grade on him. I did give him the Nick Foles comp. And that was before we had the Nick Foles run discussion.
My comp for him is Will Levis, like another Will. Like, I don't think he's good, but I think that he can play brainless football and win you a game as a backup.
See, the problem with that is Will Levis can't even play brainless football.
That first game we saw.
One game. He has had many good games in the NFL as he's had torn ACL on guys standing on the sidelines.
Well, when you put it that way, it sounds pretty bad.
You know, he's had fewer good games than he's had incredible team pitchers. And that's by QB4,
folks.
Yeah. That's
the class we're dealing with.
All right, Mike, your thoughts on Will Howard?
He has a quick release, but definitely needs better footwork. I think he can be something, not more than a backup, but he'll benefit if he's in a timing based offensive system. Has pretty good mechanics, will make some solid decisions, but when he makes those decisions, it's pretty predictable, especially in the pocket. And another thing, especially that you guys touched on a little bit, was he benefited from such an ultra-talented Ohio State offense that really bailed him out in a lot of things as well. So, I have fifth round grade on him as well.
Yeah, I feel like this basically just means that I'm a little bit lower on some of the other guys than you guys are, because it seems like we all basically have the same grade on Howard and the same thoughts. It's just, for me, he ends up at 4 because I hate the other guys more. I don't know. I think Mike, you know, very, very astutely put it there. I mean, it's there's something there, but it's just like frustratingly fleeting.
How are you gonna have a guy be your number 4 quarterback when he wasn't even the number 4 player on his team's podium in the Rose Bowl, Walker?
The only other thing I'd like to say about Will Howard is Kansas State missed him after he left. When he was at Kansas State, they were better, They went to Avery Johnson, the young kid, and let Howard walk to Ohio State, and they got worse. So I think even in on a team where he didn't have a bunch of talent surrounding him on the offense, he was playing pretty well.
Capital A, capital W, A winner.
That's right.
All right.
More like Wynn Howard.
Let's talk our Trey Regis picks. So, Walker, let's start with you.
Okay. Curtis Rourke. He's big. He likes to throw it deep. Chicks dig the long ball, and he's got it. He's a real big himbo. Just not really caring if there's a defender in the area. I think he thinks he can just, like, throw it through defenders. He's got a little bit of the same trait as his brother Nathan, who we've seen in the preseason, I believe, for the Jaguars. He also has played a lot up in Canada, where they're both Canadian. And Nathan is insane in Canada, but they both have like the improvisational ability. But Curtis is like a big lumbering dude who has a giant arm. And Nathan is like a normal-sized guy who wins on his brains. And I just, the dichotomy is weird. But yeah, Rourke is, he's pretty fun. I think if you could get him to stop trying to phase balls through a defender's chest, that you could maybe get a functional backup out of him. But I mean, it's unlikely. I'd say he's probably a practice squad quarterback.
My favorite thing that Rourke does is you can watch him go through his progressions, because the cheap way to do that is just watch the helmet, right? You can just watch him go through progressions, and then he'll go back like two reads and then just focus on that guy and just kind of wait for him to get open. Then if he doesn't, he's like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Oh, while other guys are getting open, like, he doesn't like continue. He just, like, he'll go back like two steps, because he's like, he predetermines his read. And but it's like his coach told him, like, you can't throw the ball until you make three reads. So he's like, fine. So he, like, makes his reads. He's like, well, I was going to throw it to this guy anyways. And
it feels like he goes through his progressions. And if he doesn't see anybody open, then he goes to the predetermined read and just throws it no matter what.
Yeah, I said that he'll do that even if the defensive player is riding him like Yoda, baby. In that backpack on Dagobah. A reference Walker doesn't get, because Walker's never seen Star Wars.
That's right.
Get out of here. But no, my favorite was the first game I watched of him is he had two just completely insane, stupid passes, and then he had three straight screen passes. They're like, no, you're not doing this. Stop this. We're throwing nothing but screen passes from here on out. So, yeah. All right, Mike, your Trey Regis pick.
My Trey Regis is Brady Cook out of Missouri. He has good size and athleticism. I like the fact that he stands in the face of danger, and when the plays break down and defense is in his face, he'll stand right in there and deliver the ball. He has a strong arm. He has some good mobility, enough to move around the pocket and extend plays, and he'll make a play out of nothing. Everything's broken down, and he'll make a play happen. I like his release too. He has a very, very quick release. It's kind of funky in a way, but it is very quick. Maybe one of the quickest in this class.
I did not watch him.
Yeah, that's fair. He had a really good junior season, and a pretty bad senior season, I felt like. I didn't care for that regression, and I don't think he's a draftable guy, but I do think he's shown enough to get invites to camp, or, you know, maybe a decent UDFA bonus. And yeah, I mean, if a team takes a liking to him, I could definitely see him sticking around. But I mean, I don't know. He's kind of, it feels like a Jake Fromm type with me, where it's just like, yeah, he was good a year, so we'll, in a big program, so, you know, we'll give him a shot here. But yeah, I don't have a lot of belief there. But yeah, I mean, he seems tough. I mean, he just they won a lot of games when Cody Schrader was their running back, and then he left, and they had the same guys all on the offense other than him, and all of a sudden they weren't that good anymore. So I don't know. It seems like it was the Cody Schrader show.
All right. My Trey Regis pick. Johnny Unitas.
Hell yeah.
Wait, hold on. Johnny Unitas. Joe Namath. Fran Tarkenton. Tyler Shuck. What do these players all have in common? They all played football in the 1960s.
Wow. Got his ass.
Tyler Shuck, older than dirt, 25 years old. I think that I was trying to think of it like. So we've had several discussions about Tyler Shuck. Walker has zero faith in Tyler Shuck because he's old. I don't have a lot of faith in Tyler Shuck, but I was trying to figure out like what. Like career I could see him having. I think he could fit in a Davis Mills type career. He'll play 5 years. He'll start like 20 games and he'll have like 4 games of fantasy relevance. I think that did he play football for 7 years in college? Yes. Was he teammates with Justin Herbert? Yes. Is he 2 months older than Brock Purdy? Yes. But he's refined. But he's also a finished product. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, he's good on off platform throws. He's good in the pocket. He's not great at anything. He gets impatient though on slower developing routes. A little bit of gunslinger, but he doesn't do well deep in plays, which is a weird dichotomy. Like, he's like, if that guy's open right away, you bet your ass I'm going to rip it. But as soon as the play breaks down, there's going to be trouble. I don't know if he's going to be good, but it's going to be fun bringing him up all the time. So that's why Tyler Shuck is my Trey Regis Memorial pick.
Cool.
Walker's sick. Favorite player.
I have 250 players with a draftable grade, and he is the last one.
Oh, wow. Mm.
So what I'm hearing is Walker thinks that Tyler Shuck should be drafted. Let's go, baby.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's fair. I think when you get to the late seventh round, at that point, it's the same as a UDFA anyway, and you're getting him probably cheaper and you have more years of control. So if you think he's worth a backup spot at that point, then fine. My comp is Carson Strong though.
Would you guys rather have Tyler Shuck or Mac Jones?
Mac Jones,
yeah.
Good thing that the Niners are going to have both of them and Brock Purdy. Let's go, baby.
That's the third round Niners pick that's going to be wasted. This
Shut
year.
Up. Shut up. Shut up. No. It's going to be a kicker again.
Oh, okay. We're going Andres Borregales.
I'd rather take that than Jake Moody. All right.
You could draft another kicker from Michigan.
Who's the Michigan kicker?
Dominic Zavada.
I like the other guy's name better.
And then there's also Ben Sauls.
Ooh, wait. Zavada going SV back or ZV back to back. I'm in. Spend another third. Spend that comp third. You got Robert Saleh back. It's like you didn't even have it to begin with.
They don't even get that until next year.
Oh, this is the McDaniel one?
I don't know.
I think you get two-thirds.
Yeah, right? You get two-thirds of the next 2 years, but haven't those expired or something?
Oh, is this?
This is the third
for
year.
D'Amico.
Yeah, D'Amico. Oh, this yeah. Is this is the last D'Amico comp pick, yeah.
Yeah, the Niners feel so bad about getting these picks that they just give them back. That's why... They're doing it for the good of the league.
Jesus.
All right. We ready to play the game?
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
All right. So the game. So far, this is 21 questions where I pick a player and Mike and Walker have to guess who the player is. I'm using their Pro Football Reference page. The first three were, who is it? Jared Allen, Jarvis Landry, and Lamar Miller. All right. Who is the next player. Walker, you went first last time.
Did I?
I thought you did.
No, I think Mike did, because Mike went first the first time, so you would have went first the third time, too.
Okay, so Mike, you get to go first. First question.
All right.
But I think it's Walker's turn.
I don't care. Somebody just asked a question.
Did he play a fantasy relevant position?
No. Does he look like a bitch?
No.
No.
Did he play linebacker?
No, he did not.
Did he play defensive back?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Did he make the Pro Bowl?
Yes, he did. 3 Pro Bowls.
Nice. Okay, pretty good. Is he retired?
He is.
Did he play in the AFC?
Yes, he did.
Has he transitioned to coaching?
No, he has not.
Okay.
Did he play in the...
Famously, actually, not a coach.
Famously not a coach?
Famously not a coach. Interesting.
Okay.
Did he play in the NFC?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so... He goes both ways. I like that.
And I'll let you guys know, primarily AFC.
Primarily AFC. A little bit of NFC. I got you. 3 Pro Bowls. Man, I'm stuck on when you said famously not a coach.
Mm-hmm. Famously not a coach. I should probably say semi-famously not a coach.
Was he like a real dumbass?
No.
Okay.
It's not Gronk.
No, oh, I was the
defensive back Gronk.
I was thinking of Pac-Man.
Oh, no. It is not Pac-Man Jones.
Did he play for the NFC West?
He did.
NFC West.
Okay.
That's 10.
Did he retire recently?
Define recently.
Within 5 years?
No. Recently in the scope of the NFL is very different than recently in the scope of time.
Yeah, fair.
Did he play for the 49ers?
He did. This is our first 49ers legend. And it is not 49ers, Colts, and Lions legend Rocky Asin.
Yeah, that's sick that has happened.
Yeah.
We love a trifecta legend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cornerback, 3 Pro Bowls.
Yeah, played for the Niners, but primarily in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
Retired more than 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I don't know, man.
And again, there is a promise. This is somebody that you would know. I'm not going to throw like Carlos Rogers at you.
Yeah. I honestly don't remember if he actually played for the 49ers or not, but is it Aqib Talib?
It is not Aqib Talib.
I think he did play for the 49ers, didn't he?
Aqib Talib?
Yeah.
I don't have a memory of that. He could have been on a Josh Norman arc that I blocked out. Josh Norman, 49ers legend, played in a Super Bowl with the 49ers.
Yeah.
No, Aqib Talib played for the Rams at the end of his career. That's who it was.
Okay.
All right, so we're down to 13 questions.
So he's more than 5 years ago, Hall of Famer.
He is not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, no.
Okay.
I figured not. Did he play in the blackout Rams 49 or Ravens 49ers Super Bowl?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. No, he did not. I did double check the year.
Okay.
Is he still relevant? What I mean by that is, like, is he on like ESPN or does like Thursday Night Football or something like that?
He is not an NFL broadcaster, nor is he a sports broadcaster. No.
Okay, so he's not like a personality or something. Okay.
Man. Would you both like your hint? You're down 16 questions.
Okay, so we've got five more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's probably hint time, Mike.
Yeah, that sounds good.
He was once the highest paid defensive back in NFL history with a 3-year, $45.3 million contract.
Oh man, I feel like it could be one of a few guys. Is it Nate Clements?
It is not Nate Clements. Well, great pull though. Nate Clements, my favorite Nate Clements. Was it Nate Clements? That Jim Harbaugh got hired and he dropped him. He cut him the next day.
Yeah.
He was like, first order of business. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, I don't like this dude. No, he doesn't fit.
I'm in the Hall of Fame, 3 Pro Bowls. More than 5 years ago.
I might have made this one too tough.
I do have another guess, but
go ahead with your guess.
Nnamdi Asomugha.
Correct.
Bang. All right.
Nnamdi Asomugha. Famously not a coach, because do you know what he does now?
No.
He is a writer, director, and actor.
Oh.
Wow. He had a movie that just came out that he co-wrote with Mark Duplass.
Wow. Okay. Well.
Yeah, called The Knife. He also stars in it.
Cool.
Nnamdi Asomugha. I thought I was going to get you guys on this one. Nnamdi Asomugha. Was it the highest paid ever cornerback that got you?
Yes. I had Nate Clements and Nnamdi Asomugha were the two, because I knew both of them had a ridiculously expensive contract at one point,
mm-hmm.
and both had played for the 49ers. Yeah. So I thought maybe it was one of those two. So
yeah, and by the way, you both almost got a Dante Whitner dropped on your head, but I was like, that might be.
I don't know if I would have got Dante Whitner, to be honest with you.
The only reason it was almost Dante Whitner is because Dante Whitner does 49ers like media stuff.
Oh, and so geez, like I read it.
I like read a Dante Whitner thing. I was like, oh, good guy. And then I was like, oh, that's too obscure. Part of the Whitner Goldson lumber company, they called it, because they lay the wood.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
All right, that'll do it for this week's episode of the Football Absurdity Podcast. We'll be back next week to talk the best player in the draft, at least best skill position player in the draft.
That's right.
That's right. We're going to do a whole episode on Tyler Shuck. We're talking running backs, folks, which means Ashton Jeanty, the man who my first three words I wrote about him were, what the fuck? All right. So for Mike and Walker, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care. And I promise the players next week are better. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Uh-oh. Did everybody leave me? Am I all by myself? Am I just talking into the void?